Welcome back. You're watching StockWatch with me, Bright Khumalo. Tackling your stock-related questions this evening are Zwela Kemguni from Benguela Global Fund Managers and Devin Shute from the Robert Group. Send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag StockWatch. Devin, good evening. I just checked my superheroes WhatsApp group here and my colleagues tell me that the U.S. market has turned green. We haven't seen green in a while. You can hear my voice. I'm aging very quickly from talking to clients. So what does this mean? What's your read of the current markets?
Yeah, Bright. I mean, it's one day up, one day down, isn't it? And these moves are pretty dramatic. I mean, we've had a volatile week so far. I guess the worries over this stubbornly high inflation has really got the market spooked. That being said, the inflation prints out of the US that came out yesterday, although higher than consensus, was lower than the previous month. So, you know, the bets are as to how long this inflation is going to be around and has the peak of US inflation passed or not. And I think that's what you're seeing in the market with different sides of that argument coming to the fore, with red one day and green the next.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Mguni.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, yes. I mean, what's your read of, you know, the inflation numbers that came out yesterday? I mean, Devin, you know, mentions it. We have, you know, one school of thought here saying that maybe the Fed doesn't have the right tools, you know, to target, you know, runaway inflation without, you know, tipping the economy into a technical recession.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think my view on inflation, I think inflation is here to stay. I think if you look at the drivers behind this inflation, the oil price or energy prices in Europe and the rest of the world, the one area that hasn't been counted in yet is the impact of the Chinese lockdowns on supply chain. And I think that effect will kick in. We've just come back from a situation where the COVID-19 lockdowns had an impact and was looking like we are resolving the supply chain problems. But I do think that we will have another round where the Chinese lockdowns will have an impact on inflation. And I think the Reserve Banks have no option but to hike rates, because they have to try and bring consumption under control.
Yeah.
Then
I can carry on.
Yeah, yeah. So what I was saying is that I do think that the market is actually in a bad situation at the moment, because valuations have been stretched too far in many, particularly in the U.S., particularly the tech sector within the U.S. I think those valuations were stretched too far. What we are about to see is probably like some correction in those stretched areas, because the rates are going to go higher, but the earnings might start coming through as a miss in some respect. So we might see that the sentiment starting to turn, as we've seen in the last few weeks, that it may become a lot more intense in its downward spiral.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about those, you know, that valuation gap between, you know, value stocks and high growth stocks. We saw AQR's Cliff Asness basically, you know, posting, you know, the fact that the gap is still there and it's still major, hasn't actually, you know, shrunk as much as, you know, to reverse, to say, you know, value now is starting to look a little bit expensive. So we still got a long way to go, if, you know, to say the least, depending on which side, obviously, of that coin you're in. Let's jump into our questions. The first questions, you know, on Twitter here is about Renegen, which has wiped out, you know, year-to-date returns, and is about flat 6 months. So I guess the question is, what do you do if you are holding Renegen currently, Devin?
Yeah, look, I mean, Renegen is a big bet on those helium deposits. Still early in the life cycle for a business like this. They do have a lot of debt that's needed for that exploration. I think it's an exciting prospect, but I think, you know, investors have just got to take with a health warning that there are severe risks to business models like these, and as a result, there is the risk for capital loss. That being said, you know, if those reserves are as quality as they think they are, and the helium market and the demand for it is as robust as we think it is, I think there could be some significant upside to it. You know, not the most liquid stock to be investing in, but definitely an exciting one to keep on the radar.
Yeah, is it on your radar, Mr. Mguni?
Yes, sir. I think it's a stock that we've been looking at. I think the potential is there. It's a question of whether they can bring that potential on stream at the budgeted cost and basically capital cost and cost of production.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting one. Devin, we saw, I think it was Cap Agri coming out with those numbers. We're getting a question here to say, look, it's all good and well right now. Everything is going well in terms of, you know, the harvest. They seem to be maintaining or actually passing on, you know, the cost pressures, you know, the inflationary stuff, especially on the fuel side. But is it still worth holding for the long term?
Look, Cop Agri in that agricultural space is very interesting at the moment. I mean, remember some of those soft agricultural commodities. A huge producer in the Ukraine has been taken out of global supply. And so that's had a increasing pressure on prices that has helped our local producers, and you've seen that come through in the values that they're getting for it. I think, you know, also with the soft agriculture, it's much easier for them to bring supply online and much faster than a mine, as an example. So I think you're going to see that gap in supply get taken up quite quickly. And then with any agricultural producer and trader even, which Cop Agri is, you've got these variables, whether it's the weather or the exchange rate, and those make you know forecasting earnings quite difficult. But you know, if you look at the results released last year, revenue was up significantly. It was around 23%.
Yes,
really strong earnings growth. And yeah, it's an interesting space to watch in our market.
Okay, and Zulake, do you watch Cap Agri? Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's not one that we watch very closely, but the numbers that they put out, we did see them, and as my colleague said, they were actually quite good. I mean, the one thing that was notable was I think they had 17% increase in volumes, transaction volumes, and I think that was quite a good sign. I think that was a good sign that the activity on their side hasn't actually is actually picking up after a very bad period.
Yeah, and I mean, like Devin said, I mean, it's not an easy environment or an easy market to be operating in, and they seem to be just executing quite nicely. You have to, you know, commend such a management that can, you know, be able to do such. We've got Alex Frey here who says, what's the panel's view on Spark Group? It's currently trading at a PE of 13, which is less than its competitors, which is, you know, which they are around 20. I think he's referring to ShopRite there specifically, or something like that. Yeah. And maybe Woolies as well. Is it a cheap buy or is it cheap for a reason? Zolake?
Yeah, look, I think Spar is relatively cheap, and even if you strip out the investments in offshore markets in Poland, Ireland, Switzerland, if you strip those out, you'd still get some value on the share price. Where the concern is for us is that management is getting spread too thin, dealing with components of the business that account for very little of value. So. The risk here is that management gets distracted while trying to fix Poland and all these other areas and end up with a disaster in SA. And I think that's where the concern is. But if you're talking valuation, certainly the valuation looks attractive.
Yeah, and Devin, do you echo the, you know, similar thoughts, or what's your analysis of SPAR currently?
I actually like the perspective that, you know, with a food retailer that's got these operations in Ireland, Switzerland, Poland, yeah. It does take focus away from the domestic operations. And you saw what I would regard as the premier food retail in South Africa, ShopRite, actually consolidate and reduce their operations outside of South Africa to focus on results. And I mean, what they're doing here is just nothing short of spectacular. ShopRite, I mean, increasing margin in a very tight trading condition. So yeah, I would have to agree. I think Spar is probably looking relatively cheaper from a valuation perspective than peers. And there is probably a reason for it.
Okay, interesting. Muhammad Omar says, what's the panel's view on Sibanye at current levels? I mean, this used to be a market darling, and obviously, year to date, we've seen those reversals happening, you know, in the last 2 weeks, basically, again, wiping out, recent, returns. So what does one do, Zolake?
Yeah, look, I think Sibanye, first of all, is a call and always will be a call on commodity prices. And I think where they are exposed at the moment, that their commodities have got some support, both on PGMs and gold. But I do think that there are some issues that may become very material in the business if management doesn't execute well. One is the issue of chasing acquisitions at any price. They've got a lawsuit that is awaiting them on a deal that they now seem to have reneged on what was called the green metals. The second issue is the issue of their staff or their labor relations. I mean, they seem to be holding out on the gold side for about 200 rand per employee. And I think the concern there is that the CEO got paid 300 million and it does create a bit of a loss of social support in the sense that they were arguing for the right reasons on the cost, but it looks like they've lost that argument. So certainly in the short term, production would fall as a result of the strikes, and they might see that strike expanding into the PGM space. So I do think that it might look a bit attractive, but there might be problems going forward.
I want to hear your thoughts, Mr. Mnguni, on, you know, the current temperature of the market. I mean, we're looking at, you know, locally, yes, things are bad, but not so bad. There's still some returns and pockets of returns we're seeing. But unfortunately, offshore, like you said, I mean, it's a bloodbath on that side. So I just want to hear your thoughts on where we are in terms of the temperature of the market and how you, you know, unpack everything.
Yeah. I think the point you're making about the bloodbath offshore and a bit of a relatively better story in South Africa is driven by one thing and one thing only. The fact that the commodity prices have actually been doing much better in the last cycle. And as a result, our mining sector has held up relatively well. We are starting to see that unravel because the global economy is threatened, and that would have an impact on the demand for commodities. So we are starting to see that come through. But if you look at our market, relatively speaking, I mean, it offers quite decent value relative to other markets globally. What we are concerned about in South Africa in particular is the lack of policy direction that can drive growth and drive earnings growth in the market. And I think that's where there is a bit of a gap and disconnect in terms of the market. But certainly, if you're talking valuation, this is attractive relative to many other markets.
Okay, interesting. Do you have anything to add, Devin, before I ask you about Sibanye?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the commodity boom that we've been experiencing has been a lifesaver. We've seen that it's actually reduced our current account deficit more than expected, along with reduced government spending, which is a nice surprise. So I think
we'll take all of it.
Yeah, we'll take it all. But I think my guest is exactly right in that, you know, we've got to put in these sustainable economic reforms. Otherwise, these are just once-off wins that we can't fully capitalize on.
Yeah, and where do, you know, new investors or investors sitting on the sidelines, you know, apply the new capital now? I mean, the U.S., even though, you know, like I said, there's been a lot of red and, you know, blood on the street that side, but valuations are still stretched, and locally valuations still look attractive, even though we've done so well in the past 3-4 years. So where do I put fresh capital here, Devin?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think, as you say, South Africa is fairly uniquely positioned at the moment with our strong resource-based economy, you know, being removed from some of the dangers of the conflict in Europe to offer investors a, you know, almost call it a safe haven. Would you believe after all these years that we can class ourselves as that? But yeah, I mean, I think the economic growth is still the massive worry. And if we are able to get the structure and the environment right for business and in investment, I think we're looking good. I think we're getting investment almost despite that at the moment. But you know, we're hearing how the mining sector wants to invest as long as the red tape can be removed. And I think there is starting to, the political will is starting to grow to make that happen. So, you know, so the domestic economy does look like a risk-adjusted good place to be investing. I think the commodity complex as a whole for global investors, to your question, looks attractive. And then a point you made really up front about kind of the value section of the market, you know, we had growth rallying for a decade. And I think, you know, if that trend does change and value stocks do come into favor, though these trends can last for quite a while, and I'd agree that that is a part of the market that investors are going to be looking at a lot more closely and for an extended period of time.
Look, I looked at a couple of MDDs of the, you know, some of the big asset managers that are, you know, mostly value orientated. I mean, some of them are up, you know, between 18 and 24% year to date, you know, whether it's offshore, whether it's local, in the green, in what you see as bad markets, which is commendable, right? Mr. Mguni, where thematically, where are you seeing opportunities?
Look, I think if you look global, I mean, there's certainly opportunities now that the markets are falling in a heap.
Oh,
I think we actually celebrating that 10th Benguela Day. There is opportunity in a long time to basically reallocate some of the winners into areas where the market is panicking about that the quality is very strong.
Ah.
So I think, I mean, the U.S., outside of the tech sector, there are quite a lot of opportunities in that area.
Okay.
And in Europe, I think the situation is probably... If you strip out the financial services sector, there might be a few more opportunities that you can pick up there. And in Asia, you could pick up a bit more on the side of industrial. So certainly there is a widespread of opportunities, but South Africa, I mean, amongst many areas, is one of those areas where we see an opportunity, provided that we can resolve some of our big issues as a country.
Okay, interesting insights. Let's go back to Sibanye now, Devin. We need your thoughts.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I like how Sibanye as a resource producer has started to diversify into the PGMs, but I think they're also now actively starting to look into the metals that go into electric vehicles. So those are nickel and lithium. And yes, these markets have run very hot at the moment, but Sibanye is looking to do a big deal there. I think, you know, those always come with inherent risks, so hopefully they're not going to do it at any cost. They say they won't. Also, I do feel that probably PGMs and gold maybe even are looking a little bit toppish as well. So, you know, when you're looking at an investment like Sibanye, you've got to understand the cyclical nature of these businesses. They've come through. I mean, Sibanye had a record first half last year. It's unlikely to repeat that for a while. So I think you're wanting to see more normalization of a share price for new money to go in there.
Yeah, and talking about gold, you know, a company called Goldfields came to my radar recently. It shows you, you know, where we are on that commodities trade, if something like a Goldfield is, you know, making its way there. We have a question from Musi who says, can I get insight on Rhodes Foods Group? Is it a long time to buy for a retirement plan? Long time or wrong time? I'm not sure what they're asking there. Is it like, maybe you've unpacked that one? Rhodes Foods?
Yeah, I think when you're making a decision in terms of a retirement plan, I mean, you have to take your age into account. I mean, generally speaking, as you move towards retirement, you do want to scale down on your equity exposure and take more kind of fixed income exposure. So depending on the age of the client or the person asking the question, you actually do want to have exposure in the LEA to equities, or a lot more into equities in the early age, and then a lot less towards the older age.
Okay, fantastic. Any thoughts on Roots Food, Devin? Just now as look, a company, where they are today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think a food producer in this environment where the consumer is under pressure, it is difficult. I think you're going to be getting squeezed from the retail side and from your input costs as well. So I think defense of your margins is going to be difficult. I think we saw kind of in the full year results for Rhodes last year, the top line didn't really move. They did manage to eke out a small earnings growth and small dividend growth, but it's tough going. And I mean, you can have loyalty in your portfolio of brands, but at some stage, if the consumer is shopping down to kind of more the store brands, it's difficult to compete with that. So, you know, a well-run little business, but it's a tough area of the market. And my sense is there's probably other places to be looking at for long-term capital allocation.
Yes, I mean, talking about... Go ahead.
I just wanted to add to what Devin's saying. I mean, certainly, if you look at Roads Food over the long term, the business has struggled to actually meet its cost of capital. And the main reason is that, you know, on one side, they're getting squeezed on by the suppliers, and on the other side, they're getting squeezed by the customers. It's a great idea, but to get that factory to run at full capacity, you're actually going to have to give a lot of pricing power away to the retailers. And it hasn't worked out for the kind of capacity that they have installed. It hasn't worked out. So there is some structural disadvantage to the business, and I think it could bring them into trouble at some point.
Yeah, look, I mean, back in my days when I was still in FMCG, one of the popular, you know, phrases or words was, you know, direct to consumer. Maybe we should go back and talk about, you know, those ideas of X Factor and just buying all my beans, you know, online instead of, you know, just remove the retailer altogether, but slowly, obviously. Just bleed it in. Don't rush into things. We've got a question here on the SMS line about Clicks. It's too long to read, but I guess the question is the pharmacy business a loss leader for Clicks? And, you know, how is Clicks overall, you know, positioned in this market? Considering the fact that, for example, today, Clicks was one of the three companies that were in the green in the JSE. Devin?
Yeah, so I think the pharmacy generally, you know, when your prices are regulated, you're a complete price taker and your margins are dictated accordingly. I think Clicks' business model, what it's done incredibly well is, you know, the value-added products that you see, the cosmetics, the small appliances, the snacks and that type of thing, they've just got that mix right there. I think they execute unbelievably. And as a result, you've seen a consistent performer and return on capital for Clicks. I mean, the valuation is always difficult to stomach, but, you know, they genuinely have lived up on it. So high-quality operator, it's one you can buy in any weakness, but you know, I don't think this is a market to be chasing lofty valuations.
Yeah, we have a few minutes, so I'll take your hot take, Mr. Mguni, on Clicks and your stock pick after that.
Yeah, I'll certainly say, I mean, I agree with Devin on Clicks, but I think there's one major risk with Clicks is that if they don't deliver the growth,
yes,
they are actually going to be in trouble. So,
yeah.
So if you take the value of growth and the value of current earnings, you'll probably end up with a split of about 60-40 for growth. You take out the growth, this thing is worth a lot less. So that is always the risk. And the question is the environment. They've executed well, and they've been growing into other areas, for example, bring Clicks into the township market. But is that going to give them enough growth to sustain the kind of growth expectation that is priced in? I think that is where the risk is.
Yeah, I think there's more surprise to the downside than the upside, basically. And your stock picks, it's the moment of truth now.
Yeah, I'll go with Lockheed Martin. I think the environment is right for that kind of stock. I think we saw Finland talking about joining NATO. I think there's going to be a lot more tension globally, and the defense sector is going to be a major beneficiary of that. And I think while the defense stocks have run relatively hard in the last 3 months, I think we could still see a bit more upside from current levels.
Yeah, so you're going with Lockheed Martin with their green ballistic missiles. And you, Devin?
So, Bright, in this environment we spoke about where inflation looks to be pretty sticky, we're looking for companies that have pricing power.
Yep.
And my stock pick is US-listed Nike. It's got massive pricing power through huge brand loyalty and the massive margins it commands. And those margins are growing through their direct consumer channel that you alluded to earlier, Nike Direct. They cut out the intermediary. You go buy online. And as a result, that's been fantastic for their bottom line. The stock has corrected 35% this year, so we think it's a opportunity for long-term investors to take exposure in a high-quality stock.
Yeah, look, I have to say double like for you, Devin, because I like the jump man. So it's Nike for you and Lockheed Martin. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thanks to my guests, Zwelakhe Mnguni from Benguela Global Fund Managers and Devin Shute from the Robey Group. Join Zinati for the Friday edition of Stockwatch tomorrow evening at 19:30. Have a good evening.